नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम अज्ञानतिमिराकुतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 3 लास्ट टू वर्सेस टेक्स्ट 34 एंड 35 इत्थं स्वभृतं स्वभर्तृगदितं भगवन् महित्वां संस्मृत्य विस्मितधियो यमकिङ्करस्ते नैवाच्युताश्रयजनं प्रतिशङ्कमाना द्रष्टुं च बिभ्यति ततः प्रभृति स्म राजन् Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. After hearing from the mouth of their master about the extraordinary glories of the Lord and His name, fame and attributes, the Yamadutas were struck with wonder. Since then, as soon as they see a devotee, they fear him and dare not look at him again. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Since this incident, the Yamadutas have given up the dangerous behavior of approaching devotees. For the Yamdutas, a devotee is dangerous. Text 35. Itihasam imam guhyam bhagavan kumbha sambhava kathayamasa malaya asino harimarchayan. When the great sage Agastya, the son of Kumbha, was residing in the Malaya hills and worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I approached him. And he explained to me this confidential history. Sixth canto, third chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam entitled, Yamaraj Instructs His Messenger. Srila Prabhupada ki is the final verses of this chapter. And this chapter is very revealing. It indicates very interesting principles. And in today's class, I would like to just summarize some of the very important lessons or what we can learn from this particular chapter of interaction of Yamaraj with his Yamadutas. So the basic theme is that a person gets association of a genuine Vaishnava. That association provides him with an opportunity for service. And that service ultimately gives rise to knowledge. So this is the basic theme which I would like to discuss on today. That how a person with practically no qualification, with absolutely no background of any pious credits, if he just gets association, then the result of that association is he gets a chance to serve. And that will ultimately result in some kind of transformation. So we find in this case of Yamadutas, the Yamadutas, they were absolutely unqualified. And in this particular section, we see that the Yamadutas, although totally unqualified, got the opportunity to serve Yamaraj. So let us analyze, number one, how Yamadutas got association of Yamaraj. And this association is very important and very powerful. And anyone who receives this association gets that effect. So the Yamadutas, to begin with, had absolutely no qualification for getting this association. So what is Yamaraj's position is already known, that he is one of the 12 Mahajans. He is one of the great Vaishnava. Therefore, one would imagine that to get the association of such a great soul, one will also need a lot of qualification. But the Yamadutas are not at all qualified in terms of spiritual credits. This indicates that even if a person has no good qualities, not a good stock of piety, and he may be even sinful, but still it is possible for him to come in contact with the association of a great soul. So we find that here the Yamadutas had these two qualifications, that number one, they were extremely sinful. In one sense, if someone thinks that Yamadutas take care of all the sinful souls in the hellish planets and they subject all the living entities to all kinds of miseries, so they must be very pious. But in the sixth canto itself, in the initial shlokas, it is described that the Yamadutas are also sinful. Iti devasa aprishta praja sanyamana yamaha prita svadutan pratyaha smaran padam bujam harir. When the Yamadutas questioned Yamaraj as to how we failed here, and they were asking a series of questions about who the supreme controller, so Yamaraj is extremely pleased to hear these questions. So it is described, Prita Swadutan Pratyaha. Hearing questions of Yamadutas, Yamaraj was bliss. He was in bliss. Prita. And then he started remembering the lotus feet of Krishna, Smaran Padam Bhujam Harir. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport why Yamaraj was pleased. And Prabhupada says, Yamaraj has to constantly deal with these Yamadutas who are sinful. And they are hardly interested in Narayan. And they can hardly ever chant the name of Narayan. But hearing the sound, vibration of Narayan from their lips, because as they were recounting the Ajamil pastime, they were describing, we went to catch Ajamil and he chanted Narayan, and he chanted Narayan, and then the Vishnudutas came and they said about Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. So simply in recounting in anger, all of that which happened, they were chanting names of Narayan. So Prabhupada writes in that purport that the Yamadutas are very sinful. And also, we can understand certain symptoms by which you can understand how a person is carrying stock of sinful reactions. First of all, consider their place of residence. The Yamadutas, although in charge of tormenting conditioned souls who are sinful, have to also reside in that same place. It is not that they stay in some other heavenly planet and come for a few hours and do their duty and go away. They have to reside in that same hellish condition where they are heating and boiling and cutting people and giving them so much of torture. So therefore, a person who is carrying a stock of piety, he can choose a good place of residence, a good ambience. Just imagine if someone is wealthy and he has a choice of where to stay, and someone just suggests that, okay, we'll provide you a small cell in the Arthur Road jail, fully air-conditioned. We'll give you 1,000 square feet. So it is not possible that one will accept such an offer. Just imagine if you have a business card or a card where residence is given. Big designation and residence, Arthur Road Jail. And you say, what is this? Where are you staying? He said, no, it's an air-conditioned apartment. Don't worry. But still, it is in such an apart, it is in such a vicinity which indicates this is not a very good place. So whatever you may be, if you are residing within the hellish planets, then that itself indicates that it is not something very pious. And then also, the activities which they have to perform is that of torturing, tormenting, and giving pain to others. And that is not something which is enlivening to the heart, and it is extremely painful task. And thirdly, the physical features of the Yamadutas, it is also not very attractive. Because part of their job is to scare the conditioned souls when they arrive to take them away. When they come to take the subtle body and they have to detach the soul, they have to first create terror in the heart of that person. So therefore, if they have a very pleasing and handsome personality, then that will be very difficult. So therefore, Bhagavatam describes Yamadutam tada praptau bhimo sarabhasekshano. Their features are described as bhimo. Bhimo means horrible looking. And sa rabhas ikshano. And their eyes are red. Not like lotuses, but like charcoals. And just by seeing that, sadrishtva trast hridayam shakrin mutran vimunchati. When the conditioned soul just sees, that sinful being sees the form of the Yamdutas, he again goes through a series of fearful experiences. That is how the Yamadutas are described. So by this we can understand the Yamadutas are definitely not pious and they are sinful. But in spite of being sinful, they have the privilege of association of Yamraj. Not only they are sinful, but it is not that in that association with Yamraj, they are engaging in some unmotivated service. Because of foursome circumstances, they are serving there. So the second aspect of the Yamdutas' life in the hellish planets is, they are engaging in service out of force of circumstances. And it is motivated service. It is not unmotivated. And the proof of this is that when Yamraj was approached by the Yamadutas and the Ajamil incident took place, the Yamadutas were in great distress. And in that great distress, they were questioning Yamraj, Kati santiha shastaro, how many controllers are there in the entire creation? We thought you are our supreme boss. We thought you are the supreme controller. But now we were stopped in our activity by the Vishnudutas. And they claim that they are greater and Lord Vishnu is greater. So in this way, Vishwanath Chakra Thakur gives the purport that the Yamadutas expressed anger and also disappointment when their efforts were frustrated. They just could not accept that defeat. And according to them, our master could not protect us. And therefore, what is the use of serving such a powerless master? And he also says, if the servant cannot carry out the order of the master without being protected by the master, what is the use of serving such a useless master? So they were quite indignant. They were quite angry. So Vishwanath Chakra Thakur is expressing their feelings, but they were pretty controlled that when it came to the words, they didn't mention it like this. Because they also know Yamraj's power. Because after all, he is their boss. So when they actually expressed, they said, we want to know how many controllers are there, by the way. You know, it was a kind of tinge of sarcasm mixed with anger. But they didn't just say, we thought that you are the supreme controller and you failed us, we reject you. But that was their intention. So this is the symptom of a motivated servant. A motivated servant serves in order to acquire some benefits. That benefit could be security, it could be prestige, it could be power, position, possessions. But he sees that by serving this master, I get certain benefits which I will not get without that service. And therefore the relationship as a servant continues till those benefits are provided. And as soon as he sees that this master is not able to provide that benefit, he doesn't see the logic in continuing with the service. And therefore, a motivated servant, when he is defeated, he becomes disappointed. And that defeat and disappointment leads to disillusionment and loss of faith in the master. So defeat, disillusionment, and disappointment, these are symptoms of a servant who is not serving with pure motives. And therefore, they felt that we would rather reject Yamaraj. So in this way, not only they are sinful, but they are also motivated. As against this, an example of unmotivated service we see in the life of Lakshman, who was serving Lord Ramachandra. And when Lord Ram was asked to go to the forest, Lakshman, who was eternal servant of Lord Ram, he also immediately agreed to go. And in fact, in the forest, it is described that he was expressing his emotions to Sumantra, who had come to leave them. And one of the verses he says, Aham tavat maharaje pitrutvam nopalakshaye bhrata bhartuscha bandhuscha pitacha mama raghava. He says that, O Sumantra, you go back and give this message to the king Dasharath. That is, Aham tavat maharaje pitrutvam nopa lakshaye. So far we had a relationship of father and son, but from this point onwards I detach that relationship, I cut off that relationship as his son. Why? Because I consider that real relationship is relationship with Lord Ram. My eternal relationship is that with Lord Ram, and my relationship with Dasharath was valid as long as he had his relationship with Ram. And the moment Dasharath has decided to cut off that relationship with Ram, my relationship with Dasharath is also cut off. And therefore, my relationship with my master, Ram, is eternal. And no kind of calamity and impediment of this world can destroy, stop, or impede the flow of that relationship. This is one of the symptoms of an eternal, unmotivated servant. Because problems will be there, calamities will be there. But a devotee is not affected by the influence of these calamities. Like one time in Los Angeles, Prabhupada was on a morning walk, and some devotees asked Srila Prabhupada that why there are so many calamities and miseries in the material world. And Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna already describes in Gita that it is going to be dukkhale. So your question should not be why there are so many miseries. Your question should be, why is there sometimes peace in this material world? That should be the question which should surprise you. So here, Lakshman has experienced a great calamity in the sense that his master, Lord Ram, has been stripped of his power and he has been sent to the forest. And if Lakshman was after power and simply concerned with associating himself with those with power, then he would have detached himself, his relationship with Lord Ram, because now Lord Ram had been proved to be defeated. It was a failure. But here, Lakshman is displaying what it means to be a pure, unmotivated servant. So he's saying, Aham tavat maharaje pitrutvam nopalakshaye. I do not consider that relationship with Dasharath to be true anymore because he has cut off his relationship with Lord Ram. So therefore, a pure servant, he is detached. Detached from every other situation in life and is only attached to his relationship with the Supreme. Second characteristic of a pure servant is that his service is eternal. His service is eternal. And Lakshman describes here, Bhrata Bharatuscha Bandhuscha Pitascha Mama Raghava. So one may come across various kinds of masters, brothers, relatives, fathers, life after life. So therefore, I do not consider my relationship with Dasharath so important. But as far as Raghav is concerned, Lord Ram is concerned, he is my brata, he is my brother, he is my real master, he is my real relative, he is my father. In all circumstances, Lord Ram is my worshipable Lord, and therefore I am his eternal servant. And a third characteristic of a pure servant is, a pure servant is not only concerned with pleasing the master, but he is also concerned with pleasing those who are dear to the master. That means, a servant is not simply concerned with his own self, but he is concerned with the master's pleasure. And what gives greater pleasure to the master is to see how all the other servants are staying together nicely, blissfully, with cooperation. And their pleasure gives him pleasure. So here Lakshman refers to Dasharath as Maharaje. Aham tavat Maharaje. So Raja means king, but there is another meaning of Raja in Sanskrit, and Raja also means one who pleases. So Lakshman is trying to indicate to Dasharath, as a king, your main duty is to please the citizens. And all the denizens of Ayodhya Vasi are great Vaishnavas, great devotees of Lord Ram. So as a king, it is your duty and responsibility to please them. But by banishing Ram into the forest, you have displeased all the Vaishnavas. You have displeased all the Ayodhyavasis. And therefore, since you have displeased so many Vaishnavas and you are not acting in the interest of Lord Ram, therefore, I do not want to keep relationship with you anymore. And in this way, he is sticking to his principles. So therefore, these are some of the very interesting symptoms of a pure, unmotivated servant like Lakshman. But here the Yamadutas, they are not on that platform. They are simply concerned with performing certain tasks. And for that, they get a certain kind of security. They're involved in boiling and chopping and burning all of these, you know, conditioned souls. And for doing that, they have the pleasure of not being inside that cauldron. They have the security of not being part of the experience which they are subjecting the others. And therefore, they are engaged in this kind of service to Yamaraj. And as soon as they see that, oh, the power of my master, of our master is in question, immediately they lose faith. They are willing to break off that relationship. They are willing to challenge the validity of Yamaraj as a master. Therefore, they are not concerned with faithfulness or loyalty. Faithfulness and loyalty can only come when one is selfless to a certain degree. And therefore we find that immediately, as soon as their relationship is affected, their selfishness is affected, their sense gratification is affected, they're immediately willing to give it up. And as Kali Yuga progresses, the population is becoming more and more selfish. And this trait of immediately giving up relationship at the threat of some problem or difficulty is going to be a common symptom. And if we see the trends which were reported in so many magazines about employment, the trends in employment, there was a time when people would work in a company or in a government agency for 25 years, 30 years, peacefully, without even thinking twice. And at the end of 25, 30 years, they get some dinner set or some wristwatch, and everyone glorifies them, and they feel they have done their job. And that was considered to be a sign of progress, stability. That how many years you have worked? I've worked 20 years in this company. And people say, wow, that is something great. But now as the trends have changed, it has become exactly opposite. If someone approaches for a new job and they ask him how many years you have worked in the previous company and he says 10 years, they think something is problem here. That he was there at one place for so long, maybe he's not ambitious enough. Maybe he was useless. Maybe he couldn't get anything better. And therefore, the whole trend is change fast. Since we are living in society, although we are in association of devotees, but these symptoms affect us also. And we are carrying these sanskaras. And hence, to create a lasting relationship as a servant by putting faith in some other human being whom we accept as a master or representative of the master is going to become rarer and rarer as the ages progress. And the trend will be to accept that relationship as a servant as long as my interests are served, but at the sign of the smallest difficulty or infringement on my sense gratification, break that relationship. Accuse the master of various wrongdoings. Accuse his integrity and question his motivations. And then break down that relationship. So here Yamadutas are challenging Yamaraj. You never told us that you were not the greatest. And we always thought we are the greatest. We would roam in all different directions with our collars up, thinking that we are the greatest. But suddenly we come across this situation and we are totally bewildered. So in this way, they are questioning Yamaraj and accusing him. And so this indicates that Yamadutas were not only sinful, but they were also not having pure motives. They were not purified. And in this way, somehow, they were in that association with Yamaraj. But the association of Yamaraj was not an ordinary association. The association was that of a Mahajan. And therefore, Yamaraj, in spite of all of these, had great affection for the Yamadutas. And that is indicated in one of the verses in this chapter. Namocharana Mahatmyam Hare Pashyata Putraka. Yamaraj calls the Yamadutas, oh my dear sons, Putraka. So he has a lot of affection for them. And he is accepting their service in various ways. So therefore, if a great soul, if a great Mahajan, if a Mahatma, a purified soul, somehow or the other has some affection, and he accepts service in certain ways, then that display of affection and the association put together has a great effect, even though the recipient may not be qualified. So the main theme we are discussing right now is servant is unqualified, master is highly qualified. But the power of a highly qualified master is so tremendous that somehow or the other, by that influence, even a highly unqualified servant can get the benefit. And therefore, that gives a lot of hope to all of us that we also may be highly unqualified, we may be sinful, we may have motivations. But in spite of that, if somehow or the other we come in touch with a genuine Vaishnav, with a pure soul, with a highly qualified, advanced personality, we can get that benefit. So therefore now, the main principle is that the association of Yamaraj and the service which the Yamadutas had rendered to Yamaraj made them qualified for the third stage, and that is knowledge. So therefore, knowledge is something which is revealed or which comes across because of the combined influence of association and service. So the Yamdutas got association of Yamaraj, then they engaged in service faithfully with whatever limitations they had. And as a result of that, now Yamaraj at the right moment is revealing knowledge. And in this verse it is described, Ittham Sva Bhartri Gaditam Bhagavat Mahitvam. So Ittham means this. That means the first principle which Yamaraj revealed. Two things in this verse are described. That when one gets association of a great soul and serve him, knowledge about two things become crystal clear. What is that? Bhagavat Mahitvam. First thing is, we understand the glories of the Supreme Lord. We understand the glories of Vishnu. So Bhagavat Mahitvam, glories of Vishnu, were revealed to the Yamadutas. And Naiva Chutashraya Jana Pratishankamana. And secondly, glories of Vaishnavas, the devotees, is also revealed. The power of Lord Vishnu and the power of Vaishnavas, these two things are revealed to anyone who somehow or the other is in association of bona fide agents of the Lord and who somehow or the other performs some service with whatever consciousness, but in due course of time, these two gifts are awaiting us. The glories of the Lord and the glories of His powerful servants. And in this way, the Yamadutas, although in hellish planets, in spite of being in hellish planets, are recipients of this rare transcendental treasure. Glories of Vishnu and glories of Vaishnavas is something which even the greatest demigods cannot become aware after millions and millions of lives of enjoyment. But in spite of being in hellish conditions, the Yamadutas, they get knowledge of who is Vishnu and what is the power of a Vaishnava. Therefore, Prabodhananda Saraswati says, Kaivalyam Narakayate Tridashapur Akashapushpayate. That even residence in Brahma Jyoti is worse than being in hell. To be in hell is better. Because if one is in hell, at least there is a chance to hear about the glories of the Lord. And this is a testimony or a purport of that particular verse. That the Yamadutas, although they were in hell, they could come in contact with knowledge of the Lord and they engaged in devotional practice of Shravanam, hearing the Lord's glories. Till then, the Yamadutas, they would only hear the agonizing cries of the people who were being tortured. And what kinds of cries it may be, you cannot imagine in the hellish planets. When you dip someone in hot oil, what kind of a cry would that be? If there is a hot rod which is poked in someone's stomach and entrails are taken out, what kind of cry that is? That is the kind of torture they are constantly engaged in. And what is their kirtanam when they discuss with Yamaraj? What kind of ishtagoshti happens in Yamaloka? The oil is not getting boiled enough. We need better quality oil. For what? Boiling them. You know, Oh, so many Yamdutas are indisposed. They are sick. We need replacement. This Yamduta is taking away my quota. He's supposed to be in my quota. I am supposed to boil him. He's boiling him. So these are the issues which Yamraj is dealing with the Yamdutas in hellish planets. Yamdutas are never asking Yamraj, please give us Bhagavad Katha. But Yamraj is also so patient, he also knows if someone is unqualified, one should not dump something down his throat. So he's also waiting for the right moment when they will become purified. And that is also a very important lesson. Master may be qualified, but how he deals with ignorant people is also interesting. So Krishna says in Gita that na vichalyate, na buddhi bedam janayet agyanam karma sanginam joshet sarva karmani vidwan yukta samachara. We have to wait for the right moment. And this is a very important point here. Yamaraj is waiting for the right moment. From the beginning of creation, he has been waiting for this time. Do we have that kind of patience? So as preachers, we are so impatient. As soon as we come in contact with someone and he starts coming to the temple, maybe first 2-3 times we just give him prasad, push the mala a little bit. He refuses, we say, okay, next week take it. Next week also he doesn't take it. We are not so happy about it. So after some time, if someone doesn't chant, even after 1 year or 2 years or 3 years, simply coming, in the mind we think, it's just wasting my time. And we think, what a bore, what a difficult case. But here, Yamraj has a particular service, and he's performing that service. He has great knowledge, and he could reveal unlimited knowledge about the spiritual world, but he knows, whom is he dealing with? Yamadutas. And they're not interested in hearing any of this. So according to their level, he is engaging them. And then when the right moment comes, he sees they have been purified. So how do unqualified people in this age become qualified? When they come in contact with holy name. So I may be extremely sinful and may have a consciousness which will not accept Harikatha, but when I'm exposed to the holy name, then exposure to the holy name gradually purifies and makes me qualified to receive further knowledge. So Yamraj is seeing that now they have been purified by the chanting of the holy name being, you know, chanted by a sinful soul. So a sinful Ajamil's chanting of Hare Krishna or Narayan has created sufficient credits for the Yamadutas to hear this Harikatha. So you can imagine what is the power of the chanting of the holy names. And therefore it immediately qualifies one. As the other day Govind Prabhu was telling me, that Jai Gaurang Prabhu was telling him this past time, that when George Harrison made this song, My Sweet Lord, I really want to see you, I really want to be with you, but it takes so long. So when Prabhupada heard that, he said, why so long? It need not take so long. If you just chant the holy name, the effects are immediate. There is transformation. So now Yamadutas, after hearing the holy name, have now become, they are ready now. So now they are in a position to hear Bhagavat Mahitvam, glories. And the second important thing which they realize, the holy name is powerful, but the holy name can be approached. And number two, the devotees are very powerful and they should also be approached with great care. So therefore Prabhupada writes this beautiful statement. For the Yamdutas, devotees are dangerous. Because what is the main job description of the Yamdutas? To judge. Their only business is to judge. Their whole 24 hours is simply concerned with judging, and based on that judgment, create some kind of conclusions, whether it's good or bad. If good, they're not so interested. Doesn't give them any joy. But if it's bad, it gives them ecstasy. Okay. One more, Mahabig. In my quota. Therefore, here is a group of people whose 24 hours business is simply judging others. And not just in a small area or a small home or a small company, judging souls all through 14 planetary systems. They have the whole universe to judge every soul. But after hearing this, Yamraj tells them, you can judge everyone, no problem. But anyone with tilak, kanti mala, bead bag, Hare Krishna, who's taking prasad, anywhere near ISKCON temple, don't even touch, okay? So don't think that you have access to everyone. He said, but this Ajamil was smoking, drinking, womanizing, doing all kinds of things, going to McDonald's. Yamraj said, no, don't judge. Did he chant Narayan? Yes. You heard it? Yeah. What is that? That means it is insurance, protection. You can't touch. Whatever he may be, whatever he may have done before he began chanting Narayan, you cannot consider that. And whatever samskaras he may be carrying because of his previous sinful activities, now his judgment comes under a different department. That person has been transferred. He has been transferred from Yamraj branch to Vishnu's branch. So therefore, as Yamdutas, you cannot take his account. The account has been transferred already. So whether to credit or debit is not job of this bank. Different bank will take care of that. So therefore, you stop this business of judging. You know, but there is so much loss. It is not our branch. It is Lord Vishnu's branch. The whole account has been transferred. But there was such a big balance, you know. No, no, don't worry. Head office has taken care. Back to Godhead. He's on that way. So Lord Vishnu is going to take care of that. You just keep a blind eye to that. So this indicates Yamraj has given this very strict warning to Yamadutas. And main qualification of Yamadutas is judgment mentality. Don't judge devotees, Yamraj tells the Yamadutas. And therefore here, so many types of offenses which we commit towards devotees. And Nityanand Prabhu was giving a list of offenses against devotees which Shripad Ramanujacharya explains, which I took in this seminar, but I'll just take one or two. One is Janma Nirupan, judging people based on birth. And to demonstrate the importance of this particular concept, Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj explains the whole pastime of Lord Jagannath in Jagannath Puri, after which there is even a festival which is held. Not to judge devotees based on birth or their background. Jagannath and Baldev were once taking a stroll in Jagannath Puri and they saw that Lakshmi Devi is coming out of the house of a chandal. And Baldev tells Jagannath that Lakshmi Devi is coming out of the house of a chandal. She's associated with the chandal, so we cannot associate with Lakshmi anymore. We have to reject her. Jagannath told Baldev, how can you do this? You're taking a big risk. He says, no, no. But she is associated with chandal, she cannot enter into the temple because she will contaminate the whole temple. So Jagannath, he comes under that influence and he goes and tells Lakshmi Devi that because you went to the house of this chandal, so please you cannot come into the temple. So Lakshmi Devi in great anger leaves the temple, along with that all her servants also leave. And while leaving, all of them break down all her quarters and the kitchen and everything. So next day morning, Jagannath and Baldev, they get up and Jagannath tells Baldev that if you are feeling hungry, then we have to help ourselves because Lakshmi Devi is not there. And plus, the kitchen is totally broken, so we cannot cook anything. So we have to go out and beg. So they go out and they approach someone for food. And somehow by the influence of Lakshmi Devi, as soon as they see Jagannath and Baldev, they think that there is some inauspicious person who's coming. And they start crying out, inauspicious, inauspicious, and run away. And then they see an old lady carrying some lye, you know, and like you know, puffed rice like that. And they're about to approach her, and she says, "Yes, I'm willing to give you this." Yashish Radha Gopinath ji ki. And as she's about to give that, Lakshmi Devi orders Vayudev, "Take care of this puffed rice." And Vayudev comes and blows it away, and nothing is there. So they get bewildered. They see a pond of water and say, Baldev says, "Let me drink this." Lakshmi Devi tells Varuna, "Take care of this." And the water has disappeared. And now they are so hungry. Baldev is crying out, "I am very hungry." And Jagannath said, "Naturally, we are used to eating 56 times a day. We have lost the habit of staying without food." So then Baldev says, asks a passerby, "Where can we get some food?" And the passerby says, "There is a village of Chandalas here. And they are very humble. And they may offer you something." Baldev says, "Let us go." And Jagannath says, "My God, this entire problem happened because of Chandal. And now you are willing to go to their own village." Baldev says, "We won't take food from them. We will take ingredients and we will cook it ourselves. So then it will be pure." So they go to that village, get the ingredients. Baldev says, "I am going and taking a bath. Jagannath ji, you take care." So he goes and Jagannath ji is trying to stoke the fire. But Lakshmi Devi orders Agnidev that do not cooperate. So Jagannath tries his best. There is no fire. He's bewildered. Baldev comes back, says, "Everything is ready." Jagannath says, "Not even fire is ready." And Baldev says, "I knew you are useless." And therefore he says, "I will show you how to do. As an elder brother, it is my duty to show you." And then he comes and he tries something, but all he can manage is little smoke. So Baldev is extremely bewildered. So then the villagers come and offer that maybe we will only offer to you and you can purify it by your glands. And Baldev says, "Yeah, that is also all right." So immediately they cook and Jagannath Baldev is sitting and eating. And as they are eating, Baldev is commenting, "This tastes exactly like Lakshmi Devi is cooking." And Jagannath also says, "Yes, this is exactly like Lakshmi Devi is cooking." And after eating for some time, finally the sweet comes. And the sweet preparation, I forget the name, is something which is typically made only by Lakshmi Devi and no one else knows. So immediately Jagannath tells Baldev, "I think it is Lakshmi Devi only in the kitchen who is cooking this." And after eating and the stomach is full, Baldev says, "I think we committed great offense. I must go and apologize." So both of them go and apologize to Lakshmi Devi. Fall at her feet, who was in the kitchen. And she says, "There is only one way I will forgive you, that you will never ask me to leave Jagannath temple, and you will also never leave me alone." And they said, "Okay, it's a promise." So therefore, this promise is given by Jagannath that we, myself and Baldev, we will never leave without you. But during Rath Yatra, the desire of Jagannath to go and be in the pastime of Vrindavan is so intense that he even breaks this promise and then he goes out. And therefore, Kaviraj Goswami says, "Tahara sammati laya bhakta sukha dite rathera chadi bahara vihara korite." So Jagannath just informs Lakshmi Devi, doesn't take permission. He just tells, "I'm going," and then he leaves. He doesn't wait for Lakshmi Devi's response. So Lakshmi Devi is extremely angry that in spite of this promise which was given, still he is breaking that promise. So on the fifth day, Lakshmi Devi travels with all her associates to Gundicha temple, and that is known as the Hera Panchami festival. And this is the background to the Hera Panchami festival as to what really makes Lakshmi Devi angry, that there was something committed to her and then there was a promise made, but still again Jagannath Dev breaks that promise. And every year this festival is conducted to commemorate this nice pastime. So the point which I'm trying to make is that anyone is qualified to associate with the Lord, and therefore considerations based on janma, or is a sharira, what kind of body one has, or bhava, means judging someone based on their age and growth. Someone is a child, you know, he's ridiculous. Someone is young, okay, he's mature. Someone is old, he's senile. To think like that is also aparad. Or ashram nirupan, to judging people based on ashram. और आलस्य निरूपण, जजिंग पीपल बेस्ड ऑन एक्सटर्नल एक्टिविटीज लाइक दैट. सो दीज आर डिफरेंट वेज इन विच श्रीपद रामानुजाचार्य गिव्स वार्निंग दैट वन शुड नॉट जज डिवोटीज एंड वन शुड ऑलवेज एक्सेप्ट दैट सिंस दे आर चैंटिंग हरे कृष्ण दे आर गोइंग टू गेट प्यूरिफाइड. At what rate they will get purified and how they will get purified, it is between them and Krishna. They are in the Krishna department. And so we should not create Yamaduta mentality to try to judge them. And therefore he says, Pratishankamana. Pratishankamana means the result of hearing Samsmritya Vismita Dhyo Yamakinkara. The Yamakinkaras became Samsmritya Vismita Dhyo. Vismita Dhyo means astonished. They were struck with wonder about the glory of Vaishnavas. Oh, we never realized someone is chanting Hare Krishna is so special. So that is the result of knowledge. So in order to summarize, association leads to service. Service leads to knowledge. Knowledge leads to realization. Vismrita Dhyo is realization, that they are astonished. They realize, oh, what glorious devotees are. And that realization leads to transformation in behavior and dealings. So in this way, these Yamadutas, they are demonstrating that all the knowledge which they had so far, they were very expert in their profession, they were extremely experienced in getting things done, but that kind of knowledge was not sufficient for them to clear this test of dealings with devotees. So they get information about glories of the holy name and glories of devotees. And this is a transforming experience for them. Srila Prabhupada ki Tai Gaur Premanande. Mahaprabhuji, comments only. Also today afternoon for the Sunday program, we are going to have a memorial in memory of Shripad Bhakti Swarup Damodar Goswami Maharaj, and different devotees would speak about his contribution and his glorious characteristics. And then subsequently there will be Pushpanjali and Kirtan.
Guruji, you said the association is very important, and by that you get a transformation, or means first knowledge and then you get transformation. Service. So my point is, we may be having association, but if we have no desire to get transformation, I'm a bug is sitting on the throne, or I'm all the time in the association with great devotee and Guru Maharaj, but I have no desire to do some transformation in my life, and I may be associating throughout my life with the guru and devotees and great devotees. But if I haven't got desire, there will be no transformation. So desire should be there first. If I haven't got the desire, I may be showing to the people, I'm associating with the great people, but only for the sake of showing to the people that I'm associating, but I haven't got the desire. So how to get that desire?
Going through, we'll answer. You have desire, that's why you are here in this association. Otherwise, there are hundreds of ways to fulfill one's different desires in Bombay City. So you have been conducting the car program successfully for 25 years plus. So that shows that the desire is there. So, but the same question you asked so many times last week in different programs. This shows you are humble and you want to know more on how to improve. But basically, because of your efforts in conducting programs like in car, so many people have joined the Hare Krishna movement. So many people are, you know, benefited. And so much service you're already rendering. So basically, it is not possible to expect complete transformation and change overnight. But it takes many, many lifetimes of endeavor. And then when we come to Hare Krishna, start practicing Krishna consciousness, it is always natural to feel that I have to improve further. I have to improve further. So that is a good sign. It keeps us always on our toes to try to become purified. And just like Srila Prabhupada, I think it was an initiation ceremony, and someone came to Prabhupada and said that there was this, it was on the holy name. There was some discussion going on. And Prabhupada told one of his disciples, you explain how they should chant. And this devotee got up and said, so now you can chant any name of God. Prabhupada added, bona fide name, not just any name. And therefore, when we follow the process, if the process is bona fide, then that bona fide process automatically creates transformation. So you have received the mercy of so many great souls in the past and in the present. Therefore, there is no doubt about the fact that you are moving in the right direction. Chal Prabhupada ki, thy god premanandi.